Good morning, church.
Good morning, Joshua.
Looking a little thin today. Yeah. You're looking great, David. It is good to see everybody today. I know why a lot of people are not here. And so with that in mind, I just want to say, if you're not feeling well, go home, get better. There's a lot going on right now. I know a lot of people are scared. I think a lot of this is probably overhyped. But, you know, I think one of the things that's important for us to do is pray for our leaders. They've got some very tough decisions, and there is a lot of misinformation out there. So I think it's very, very important that we use our most powerful weapon, and that is to continue to pray for the developing situation. If you are a visitor, you are an honored guest, and we are glad to have you. If there's anything we could do for you, please let us know, because we know you could choose to worship anywhere. We're glad you chose to worship with us today. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your wonderful gifts that you give us. We thank you for this time that we have to come together and worship, and we ask that you can open our hearts and minds to your word and teach us what you have to say. Most importantly, Lord, we ask that you help us to always be living the way that you've called us to live. We give thanks in your name. Amen. Growing up, I got really into this comic called Foxtrot. Does anybody know Foxtrot? Yeah, he doesn't write. He's a comic. He writes comics in the newspaper, so I guess they're funnies. They're not really comics. But I just loved it. And there was this. He normally writes in a series that develops throughout a single week. Now he's semi-retired. He only writes once a week. But there was this one series where the oldest boy, has his girlfriend, and they're going to celebrate their very, very first Valentine's Day. And he doesn't want to blow it. So he's asking for advice from every different person he knows. And his mom says, well, at least you're on the right track. And then it shows their husband presenting a Valentine's Day gift to the wife, who says, for the love of my wife, an extension cord. I always thought, you know, I'm never going to be that guy. And Rachel said, you know why, Rachel told me, you know why we got married on December 16th? Does anybody here know why Rachel told me we're getting married on December 16th? No, because it is 4 days after my birthday, so I would not forget it. I honestly don't know if that's true. I think that was intended as a joke. But guys, I got to tell you, this year I blew it. Not the anniversary. I blew Valentine's Day. Because Rachel told me I used to be this big romantic, but sometimes I got it in my head that we were just not going to celebrate Valentine's Day this year. And so I didn't do anything. I didn't get Rachel a gift. And Rachel got me a gift. And then we had a little disagreement about it. And she's like, we went through the same thing last year. You even got me flowers a few days later to make up for it. And I'm like, I don't remember that. But I totally blew it. And so I'm like, this next time, I'm going to be prepared. So the very first time ever in my phone, I use that reminder thing that's like, hey, you've got this coming up, and I've got 11 months to figure it out. But next year, I'm not going to blow it. And all of you know, so you can ask me next year. But I set this reminder because I do not want to forget something that's important. And because it only happens once a year, we don't really think about it all the time. So we do things like set those reminders because reminders are good. You see, there's a lot of important things for us to remember. As a Christian, I think it's pretty simple. There's really only three things you really have to know to be a Christian. Is that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus died so you can go to heaven, and that you have to live worthy of being Jesus. But in the world, there's all these different things you have to know. I got to know Valentine's Day is coming up. I got to know my anniversary. I got to remember my kids' birthdays. I got to remember to call them the right name. I don't know how many times I've been called by my brother's name. Rachel's told me she's even been called by the dog's name before. I lose my keys in my wallet all the time. They're always in the last place you look, because you wouldn't keep looking after you found them, right? You gotta remember who lives at 42 Wallaby Lane, and that is P. Sherman. Oh, nobody gets that reference? Okay, I thought that was just me. It's a reference from the movie Finding Nemo. Dory, who always forgets, remembered this one thing. So you have all these things in your life that you have to remember. That one's not really important. But you might see the rest of it. But as a Christian, it's pretty simple, right? So what do you really need to know beyond these three things? Well, not a whole lot. But we remember these things because remembering them are good. They're important to us. And they're also healthy to us. Did you guys know that? It's important to do things to remind you of things. There's a lot of different studies that have shown that by setting reminders, things that help you remember, that it can help your bank account. It can help your charity. It can help your health. All these things that you do to set reminders. And so this is what Paul's doing in chapter 1. Is Paul is going to remind them of a bunch of stuff. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's the little reminders that Paul gives in chapter 1. I talked a lot about the last few weeks about the joy and the partnership that we have in Christ. But Paul's got a very, very important thing that he wants to tell them, which is going to climax in chapter 2. But before that, he wants to remind them of about, 10, 13 things that you're going to see in chapter 1. And I want to go over those with you today, because I think they're very important reminders as well. And the first one is that you are a servant of Christ. Who do you serve at the pleasure of? We serve at the pleasure of God. So if God tells us to do something, you are going to do it. Who said that? Yes, good job, Peter. You are going to do it. Because what happens if you don't do it? Well, you might end up in a whale. So you serve at the pleasure of God. We do what God wants us to do. We also serve each other as brothers and sisters. We serve the less fortunate. There is one people group that we do not serve. We do not serve the world, unless it is by extension what God wants us to do. God says, if you want to be first in the kingdom, you have to be last. You have to take on the form of a servant. And you want to know something else? We are all partners in that servanthood. Now, last week I talked a lot about our partnership that we have in Christ. But there's one thing I didn't point out that's really, really important. And it's something you probably don't even get if you're just reading the book of Philippians. Is Paul recognizes that despite his status, he is a partner with them. I want to point this out to you. Everyone look at this. This is the beginning of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. What's missing from Philippians? Apostle. Paul does not acknowledge his apostleship in the book of Philippians. In fact, Paul wrote 13 letters that are printed in the Bible. How many times do you think he admits the word apostle? Four. One is a good guess. I would have said one. But four times he admits the word apostle. And I think every time is done with a deliberate purpose. And in this case, he eliminates the word apostle here because he wants to talk more about his partnership with them than his authority as a leader over them. So see, this is one of the things that I think is extremely important. Yes, we have leaders in the church. We look at them as our elders. But first and foremost, they are Christians. And while they might exercise authority over you as being your elder, they are still your partners in Christ. And so Paul, I think the reason Paul eliminates this is he does not want that to get in the way of his main point. That they are partners in sharing the gospel of Christ. Remember to pray. Don't pray half-heartedly. Every day I make my kids pray for the food we eat, and every day they sing the exact same prayer. And now I think they're old enough that I want them to stop praying that way. Because I know they're doing it because it is the way I taught them to pray, not because it has meaning. Prayer is not meant to be half-hearted. It is meant to have focus. It is meant to be done in joy. It is meant to be done in love. It is meant to lift up and encourage. You shouldn't pray because you feel obligated to pray. You should pray because you want to pray. As we read in Psalms today, we give God our whole heart. And so when we go to God, we need to not only remember that we have to go to God, not out of obligation, but because we want to. So remember to pray. Remember to, when you pray or in everything you do, you glorify God. You thank God for all that He has given. Look at the very first thing that Paul says in his prayer. Grace to you and peace from our God Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul greeting them, but he's greeting them with the blessings of God. He says, I want you to have more than I could possibly give you. I want you to have the best thing you can have because everything we have comes from God. Nobody in this room would be here if it was not for God's blessings. I mean that both as a human and both as a Christian. Nobody would be here if it wasn't for all the support that we've had throughout in this room or throughout the generations or for maybe your parents. We share in all everything that God has given us. We share in His affection. We share in His grace. He says we are partakers of that grace. And all these are wonderful reasons to thank God. Is there a bad reason to thank God? I don't know of any bad reason. There are things we might perceive as bad reasons. But God gives us many, many blessings every single day. And so I want you to remember to thank God for all that He has done for you. I want you to remember to let love abound. Does anybody use this word abound? I don't think I've ever used this except when I was quoting the Bible. This is such a strange word to me in English. It basically is let love overflow. Let it become more and more of you every single day. And what do we know about love? Love is our primary virtue. Everything we do is done in love. And Paul says in verse 1:9, and it is my prayer that you that your love may abound more and more with the knowledge in all discernment. Because love requires knowledge and discernment. How many of you have children or have had children? I think almost every single person in this room. Do you love them? Yes? Anybody not love their children? But love is not, you don't let them do anything they want, right? Why? Because you love them. We don't let people do anything we want. That's the mark of someone who you don't like or don't care about. Oh, well, you know, do whatever you want. Doesn't matter to me. It does matter to me what my kids do. It does matter to me what all of you do because I have love for you. And that's why I often discipline my children. Sometimes it's fun, but not because I don't not like them, but because I love them. Let your love abound. Will you get flack for it? Yes. And my kids give me plenty of flack. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to stop loving them. So remember to let love abound. Remember to approve what is excellent. Verse 10, so that you may approve what is excellent and what is pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Now, Paul doesn't say what is excellent here, but he's basically giving you a taste of what is to come. So, 3 chapters later, Paul tells you what is excellent. Because there's a lot of things that I think are excellent. Like, I think the game Twilight Imperium is an excellent board game. And some of you are going to like, huh? But Paul tells you what really is excellent. He says, these are the things that are excellent. The things that are true, the things that are honorable, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are commendable, the things that are worthy of praise. if it's not on this list, it's probably not excellent. As Christians, these are the things that we should be looking to do every single day. Remember the things that are excellent. Remember to advance the gospel. Is there anything more important for us in our work as our in our work? It's more important, I think, for us to be saved, but I think that's just a cause and effect relationship right here. The gospel must be advanced. Paul's situation right now, he views as dire. He in fact says, I am on the point of death. And he says, despite all of this, my guards are hearing the gospel. Because the gospel is bigger than Paul. The gospel is bigger than Warrensburg Church. The gospel is bigger than any individual on earth. So despite your circumstances, it is still important for the gospel to be advanced. Now, there's a wrong way to do it. Paul talks about the wrong way. He says some people do it out of envy and strife or self-ambition. But he says, you do it out of love. Because the gospel must be advanced. So remember to advance the gospel. And that when you do advance the gospel, remember to be full of courage. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will be at all, that I will not be at all ashamed, but with the full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in body, whether by life or by death. Is it easy to advance the gospel? I guess it really depends on who you're talking to. Sometimes it's really, really easy, and sometimes it's really, really difficult. And sometimes you're going to face pushback, and other times you might face death. And in those last two, it's really, really easy to get afraid. But as we see, he says, do not fear, be bold. I heard someone say that there are 365 different ways the Bible tells us to not be afraid. There are many, many people who rely on our courage. But most importantly, God relies on us to be bold so that the gospel may be advanced. So remember to be full of courage. And remember that despite what happens, there are better things to come. And what are those better things? The better things to come are in heaven. Yes, you may be content with everything that's going on now, and maybe you want to continue to do the work as Paul is doing here. But there's still something better to come. Or as he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. It is always far better for us to receive what we have not yet received when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. So despite your circumstances, remember, if you stay true, there are better things to come. And finally, I think this is the last one. Yes, okay. Finally, remember to be worthy of the gospel. Not just that we advance it, but that you live how it tells you to be. Because it is the gold standard of Christianity. See, a lot of people are going to tell you, as a Christian, you only have to do this. Or as a lot of Christians, you only have to do that. Are they right? I suppose it depends on what they're talking about. But we know how to tell if they're right. Is we have the gospel in right here in our in your phone, in your pew, probably on your computer at some point. If there's nobody here that doesn't have the Bible, we'll get you a copy. And if you read it, you will know what is expected of you, how you should live. Because as a Christian, you have a citizenship in heaven, or as he's going to say in chapter 3. And as a citizen of heaven, you have to live for that citizenship. Always living for the citizenship. as he says, it's continuous action, one that is done in faith. So remember to live a life worthy of the gospel. Now, I also want you to understand a few things about everything I've just said. Reminders are good, but it's not my job to remind you. I will help you. It's my job is to help you, and sometimes I teach about it. I teach about it quite a bit, actually. But it is not my job to constantly tell you these things. It's nobody's job in here except one person. It's your own. Often when I talk to people and they're telling me about problems that they have, I always tend to ask them the exact same two questions. Number one, how's your prayer life? And number two, how often are you reading the Bible? And I almost always hear the exact same answer. Not as much as I should. I want you to think about this for a second. And I'm going to give you, I'm going to count to five in my head. Because I want you all to think about this. I want you to think about everything that you know is acquired, required for you as a Christian. And I want you to think of how much of that is you should be doing more. Think about that. You should be doing more. Now, I know this is kind of like a double-edged sword because we always think we should be doing more. But if we know that we're definitely falling short, then maybe you need to reevaluate the way you look at your life and your priorities. How often are you using that word should when you know exactly what is expected to you? Because if I constantly remind you of things, or if you have to constantly be reminded of them, how many of you like your alarm in the morning? One person likes their alarm in the morning. Because the alarm wakes you up. It is a reminder to wake up. And so you guys tend to regret the things you are constantly reminded of. That's not what the gospel should be. If these were already routine in your lives, you would not have to worry about it because you would already be doing it. So do the things that you should be doing because you recognize how important they are, not because you are obligated to do them. But I also want you to remember these things because sometimes life does get in the way. And that's why occasionally we do talk about them. I don't preach the same message every week, but I do come back to things that I think are important because I also do think that some reminders are good. And so I want you guys all to remember every single day that you are a Christian. You are someone that has been washed in the blood of Christ. And you've been given this wonderful gift that is the citizenship in heaven. And therefore, as a citizen in heaven, you are going to live in the gospel of Christ. But you know, it's not always easy. And sometimes you do need help. And so every week I come up here and I do the exact same thing. I say, do you need help? Because I want to help you. Not because it's my job, partly because it is, but because I love you. And I want to do what is best for you. If there's something I can help you with, or the church can help you with, which is more important than me because it is always much bigger than me, I invite you to come forward as we sing this song.